child is waiting.
When I was 5 years old, my dad broke his leg and he couldn't work. We didn't have money for food. I was very scared. Near our home, bad people would be out at night and there was always trash everywhere. I felt like no one cared about me and I didn't matter. When I was 9, one of my neighbors told me about compassion. I didn't know what it was about, but I liked it because I received a lot of help. I was fed there at the church, and I learned how to take care of myself. I learned that I was special and that God loved me and that He had a plan for my life. And I learned that I could ask Jesus into my heart. And when I did, I was so happy. I was waiting to get a letter from my sponsor, and when it finally came, I felt very happy and special. They were very loving in their letters. They loved me so much, even though we never met in person. At 15, I remember being so thankful for my sponsors and everything they did for me. I will remember them until the last day of my life. Without their help, my life would be so different. All I can say is thank you for so much love that showed me God's love. Now, I know I have value, and I know I have a future.
My name is Hilda. This is my story. Release a child from poverty in Jesus' name.
A child is waiting for you.
Welcome to Compassion Sunday. You know, thousands, actually this is a stat. There was, I want to say I read it was 7,000 plus churches last year had a Compassion Sunday. 7,000. It's amazing. Because what else is amazing with that stat is that even though Compassion, there was 1,000 churches that had Compassion Sundays like this, that I'm going to talk about more about what Compassion International is, but Compassion International actually has 7,000 local churches that they work through to do these same things for these kids, for the poor, that for the kids that are suffering, that are in need, in changing lives. So we're celebrating that because today's day for celebration. It's not a plea for help. It is a day for celebration because we have a chance to join Compassion and do those same things to help these kids like Hilda. Pull them out of poverty, pull them out of the conditions they're in, and make them become, but help them become respected leaders of their churches and of their communities. But most of all, we're showing them love of Christ. We're telling them about the love of Christ. So before we get started, though, and tell you more about Compassion, I want us to take a journey back in time. Back to a place where your first century Jew, and you heard this man named Jesus. You've heard his name a few times, and you've caught a glimpse of some of his teachings, and you've heard some of the stories that he's told, and you are in awe of him. And you're in such awe of him that the other church leaders of the time, they start to question Jesus. because they're not sure how to take this guy. They're not sure how to understand him because of what he's actually teaching. So they start to question him and question his motives. But you've gained such an interest in his teachings that you start to follow him around. And you're not only following him around, but you're following him and you're watching him. You're seeing how he reacts to people. You're seeing how he responds to people's questions. And you are just in amazement at at his teachings. So if you guys are there, now I want us to shift gears just a little bit. Because I want us to think about one of Jesus' most well-known parables. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, a lot of you have heard it many, 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 many times. You can probably tell each other, or you can probably tell it to each other in great detail. But I want us to slow down this morning and listen to it, try to listen to it in a new light. And listen to it in a way that will allow God's word to change your life. So it's in Luke 10. Verse 25 through 37, and I'm going to read it for us today. So listen to the word of God. Starting in Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, meaning to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance the priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and he went and saw him. He had compassion, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." I want us to first take notice about why Jesus told this story in the first place. Because in verse 25, and I use the ESV version, just so you guys know, because they use the one word and it is changed a little bit, and I kind of like it a little bit better. Because where the NIV was on the screen said expert in the law, this says lawyer. So it's kind of the same thing, right? So, there's this lawyer. The lawyer wanted to test Jesus. This guy knew the scriptures inside and out. He knew them forwards, backwards, and side to side. And he was trying to trip Jesus up. He asked him, you know, "How do you have eternal life?" And I find Jesus' response kind of humorous. Because he says, "Well, you tell me. You're the expert. You're the lawyer. You know the scriptures. What did they say? What does Moses say? What is the law of Moses says?" And the Lord responds, quoting scripture from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Then Jesus tells him, "You got it. That's what it is. Just do those two things and you'll have life." But this wasn't enough for the lawyer, for the expert law. It wasn't enough. He wanted to justify his actions that he was doing towards his neighbors. So that's when the lawyer says, "Who's my neighbor?" Jesus responds with that story. of the good Samaritan. So today, that's a question I want us to answer. Each one of you to answer for yourselves. Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Who exactly is it that God calls us to love just as we love ourselves? And he answers those questions in that story. This Jewish man was beaten. He was robbed. He was stripped. He was left for dead on the side of the road. He was in extreme, extreme need. And the two people that came to pass by him first, they passed him by, were religious leaders of the day. A rabbi and a priest and a Levite. They left him. They just kind of looked at him like, oh, I can't go over that side. I don't have time for that. It's not my problem. And they kept going. But it was a good guy in the story, the Samaritan, that stopped. The guy that was hated by the religious people just because of where he was born. A guy that was probably wasn't very religious at all, but he stopped because Scripture says he took pity on the man because he was left for dead. And not only did he feel compassion for this man, he also got involved in this man's life. He used whatever he could to help him because he had mercy on this man. He bandaged his wounds. He used oil and wine to ease the pain, put him on his animal, took him into town, took care of him overnight, and then gave someone else money to take care of him. Jesus then turns the lawyers or the expert law's question around himself and asks them, who's the neighbor to the guy that was robbed and beat up? And the lawyer responds, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus dismisses this guy and says, and the ESV adds the word you in this part too. ESV says, you go and do likewise. NIV just says, go and do likewise. So I like that a little bit better. It's more pointed. It's more direct. So if you're still imagining you're in the crowd listening to Jesus' response, one, you're kind of amazed because, remember, the expert of law, they were held in high esteem at the time. And Jesus is basically taking them down a few notches. So you have this, you're kind of astonished that someone would talk to this expert that way, but then you're also even more astonished at what Jesus said, the actual words of him, and you got a greater understanding of who your neighbor is. So today, let's fast forward a little bit. We're here today, and Jesus said, you go and do likewise. It's not a suggestion. It's a command to go and do likewise. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. But the question that remains for you is, who is your neighbor? Still found the parable of the parable that Jesus said. It's still found in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is anyone in need that we are in a position to help. So let me say it again. Your neighbor is anyone in need that you are in a position to help. Some of you may not know it, but there's 560 verses or so in the Bible that deal with the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, and those that are discriminated against. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? So if we take the parable of Good Samaritan and look at it in today's world, So instead of a man being left on the side of the road, imagine that there's a child instead of a man. And for the most part, children in the United States and other developed countries, you know, they have a pretty good life. Their life's journey is pretty easy. You know, they receive the nurture and the protection and the learning opportunities that they need to survive and thrive on their life's journey. You know, but for one quarter of every child that is born each year, their road to life is one very much like the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's dangerous, it's filled with bandits of poverty, it's filled with bandits of hunger, it's filled with bandits of disease. They're on a road that takes the lives of nearly 27,000 children under the age of 5 every single day because no one came to their rescue. Put that a little more perspective for you guys. That's actually exactly 1,125 children an hour. So how long have you been awake this morning? Actually, since we've been here, most of you got here just before 8. So since we've been here today, 1,125 children have died because no one came to their rescue. That's shocking to me. I hope it shocks you as well. And I understand that for most of us, we all know there's suffering kids. I know when I was growing up, you don't see the commercials quite as much on TV, but when I was growing up, about every other commercial on TV was, I'm drawing a blank. Thanks, Holy Spirit, for giving me that idea and then not giving me the answer for it. All in the Family, the daughter from All in the Family. Sally Struthers, who's always on TV with the children, right? And it was like every commercial on TV. And so we know about it, you know, but we think it's someone else's problem to deal with, or we think the problem's so large, so overwhelming, so discouraging, that we don't think that by helping one child it's going to make any difference. Or we think that we're busy with our own children. We're too busy to help out somebody else. They're not my child. They're not from Greenville. They're not even from the United States. So they're not my problem. Some of us even may think that these larger issues like this are better left for governments to deal with. But that's not how the word of God directs us to think about the world's poor and oppressed. Jesus says, and he's clear on this, whenever we see someone in need and have the opportunity to do something about it, we must. Some of you may already know about Compassion International and Sponsor Child. And I'm sure you've been blessed by them, just as my family and I have by the child that we have had for 14 years. Our child's name is Vera Augustine. That's her middle name, because I cannot pronounce her last name. It starts with an S and ends with, I don't know, it's like this long. It's crazy. She's from Indonesia, and like I said before, we have sponsored her for 14 years. We got her at a Mercy Me concert, okay, and they were just had people dispersed in the crowd handing out packets, sponsorship packets. And we raised our hand because we thought we could sponsor a child. So it was random we got her. She's exactly like 1 month younger than our oldest daughter. So we were able to kind of see her grow up as our oldest daughter grew up. And we saw her learn. We saw her being taken care of. We saw her being fed. We saw her doing amazing in school. We saw her come to Christ through the letters we got from her. It's been just an amazing thing. And we also have the opportunities to give gifts at sometimes to her, usually on birthdays and at Christmas time. And when we send extra money for those gifts, the response of letter that we get from her is it makes my heart happy. Because usually that money we give to her, she doesn't use it to buy stuff for herself. She uses it to help her family. You know, because her dad is a laborer and works sometimes, and her mom is, I think, a housekeeper and works sometimes. So it's not a steady thing like most of us have jobs. We have a steady job and goes to work every single day. She's done amazing in school, and she plans to go to university. It's all because of the vision that God gave Everett Swanson 25 years ago. I'm sorry, not 25 years ago, 65 years ago. See, Everett was an American evangelist in Japan and Korea during the Korean War. And during that time, he saved, he brought many of our soldiers to Christ during that time. But while he was there, he saw something that changed his life forever. While in Korea, he noticed children were living on the streets, and they were because they were orphaned by the war. They would huddle together to keep warm, and they begged for coins. One morning, while going on a walk in the city of Seoul, he noticed this flatbed truck pull up, and two guys hopped out. And it looked like they were picking up garbage from the gutter or the door steps. He didn't think anything of it, and he kept watching them as he's walking. And he noticed they would the workers kind of gave a little kick to the garbage and stuff before they would pick it up. And didn't think anything of it because there was rats, kind of scare the rats off before he picked up the garbage. But as he continued to walk and get closer and closer to them, he noticed that there was an arm sticking out of one of the piles. And to his horror, what he actually realized was that the sanitation workers weren't picking up garbage. They were picking up the children who had died overnight in the city because they were living on the streets. And the kick would wake up the children who survived the night, the cold Korean night, and they were left to face another cold, hungry, despair-filled day. Everett couldn't get these images out of his mind, of these abandoned children out of his mind. And he could have said to himself, like the rabbi and the priest, that it's not my problem. It's not my country, not my people. I'm out of here. But he didn't. He did whatever he could with whatever he had to help those children. And when he returned to the States, he actually had people join him and was asking people to contribute a little bit of money every month so that he could go back and help take care of these orphaned kids. Now, that was Everett Swanson's efforts 65 years ago during the Korean War. And the people that caught that vision then to follow Christ's command, to go and do likewise. These same people grew into what Compassion International is now. And Compassion International is in 26 countries now, not just Korea, 26 countries. And they work with 7,000 local churches. This is over 7,000 local churches to minister to these kids, to rescue these kids. This same vision has been caught by some of you, including me and my family. And what most of you don't know is that our church has its own connection with Compassion International. We have a sister church in the Dominican that many years ago, we sent a group down, and some of the older people can correct me here because I don't know the full story. Sent a crew down there to build this church. Because the leaders of this church at the time decided we were going to build our own building back then. And they decided, no, we need to go to Dominican and build a church. They did. They went. That church, God has blessed so immensely from that time that the pastor of the church then, Pastor Enrique, who's been here a couple times, is now the president of Christian Missionary Alliance in the Dominican. But what is even more amazing is that when we went down there 3 years ago, that church is now a Compassion International site. A Compassion International school is there, where we got to see like the kids there learning and then feeding them, and the church also has been expanding upon itself. They have a water purification system there now, where the community can come and get clean water at a completely reduced rate than what they could otherwise. They're basically just covering their cost for this water. They're not making any money on this water that they're giving out. Clean water. They have added a partial second story to it. They showed us brick walls that were up that were the beginnings of a new kitchen and a library for this church. One of our church family members actually put in a computer lab for those kids to learn computers. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. And another that we're connected to Compassion International is through Brandon and Brittany Nutter. They are the two site missionaries in the Dominican Republic through Envision that have been here in our church a couple of times as well, talking. As I'm setting up our next mission trip to go, I mentioned to them that we're having Compassion Sunday, and they were thrilled. So I want to read you a little bit, just a couple of lines of a response that I got from Brittany about us having a Compassion Sunday. She says, "That's so incredible to hear about your Compassion Sunday. We really believe in compassion and One Child Matters ministries and the impact they have on communities here. My brother and his wife sponsor a little girl in one of our churches here, and it's so neat to be able to hear her pray with sick family members and be the bridge between them. Brandon and Brittany see firsthand how much of an impact Compassion International has in the communities that they serve in. One of the best parts is that you and I have the chance to be part of that same ministry to them. We can join Compassion International and Brandon and Brittany and help support their work, the work they're doing to minister to these children in Santiago. We are a church that gives and gives and gives. We're generous people. I believe we truly are. And we've taken on the task of serving in many different areas. This is not just something that God calls us to do. It's something that I believe that we've caught the passion for and the vision for as well. Our church, a few years ago, the staff and leadership, after much prayer, came to the conclusion that our Jerusalem is in Acts 1:8. Our Jerusalem is our church body. Our Judea is Greenville and surrounding areas. And our Samaria is Dominican. And we do a great job of witnessing to Jerusalem, our church body, through the deaconesses' ministries and Sunday mornings and all the other activities we have here at the church. It's amazing. And one way, Pastor Nathan already mentioned it, that we can help be a witness to our church body is helping Cindy Miller move tomorrow, 9 a.m. at her house, right? And we do a great job witnessing in Judea and in the Greenville and surrounding areas through things like His Work, His Way, making cookies for the state police, and partnering with other churches to do things like neighbor to neighbor. However, I believe that we can do a better job of witnessing to our Samaria. And this is in no way discounting the enormous amount of money that we give to the Great Commission Fund, because that is amazing amount of money that goes out to the entire world, to all of our missionaries, helping those missionaries minister in the ways that they do. But I believe we as a congregation can do more in our own Samaria, in the Dominican Republic. Pastor Enrique longs for us to have a stronger connection to the Dominican. The Nutters longs for us to help support them in what they're doing on the ground in the Dominican Republic. And most of all, Christ longs for us to be a witness in Samaria. If you remember, Proverbs 14:31 says that whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So I want to urge you to stop at the compassion table that's set out up outside in the lobby. Talk to Margaret Molnar. I'll be out there in a little bit. I think Kitty's helping out first service. And take a look at all those kids that are out there. We have 40 packets, sponsorship packets. It's been my prayer that every single one of those kids would be sponsored by the end of today. It's 40 kids. Seems like a lot, but our God is bigger, and our God's stronger, and our God provides. Every single kid out there of those packets is from either our sister church or other Christian Missionary Alliance's churches that are in the Santiago area. And this is what's getting me so excited about today also, is that now we have our sponsored child is in Indonesia. And I doubt me and Trish will ever get a chance to go visit her. However, these kids, you will have a chance to go and visit them and go on our mission trips. Because that is something else that we're working together with, that we are putting together, that when we go back to Santiago, which is going to be in January or February, early February next year, so mark in the calendars, if you want to come with us, when we go visit or go on our mission trip, we are going to have the opportunity to actually visit face-to-face with our sponsored child's kids. We're going to be able to literally give them a hug. We're going to be able to literally talk to them face-to-face, pray with them, play with them, just be there with them, and get to see firsthand how much of an impact $38 a month can do in the life of a child, in the life of the child's family, even. Because like that Hilda, she not only was a compassionate child, and she went to university and graduated and become a teacher and a respected leader. But you see everything else that's said about her? She's putting her sister through school, and she's taking care of her extended family. But it's one kid. That's amazing. So I urge you, like the lawyer or expert of the law, you go and do likewise. I urge you to change the world one child at a time through Compassion International. Let me pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord, and you have given you've given me this desire to have this Sunday for many, many years, and I'm so thankful for people like Margaret who stepped up and had that same desire. We could partner together to have this accomplished. Lord, but I am even so blessed, so more blessed by Compassion International and the work that they are doing in the lives of these children. Lord, and I know that you have given the people here in this building, in these four walls, Lord, just they are so gracious and generous, Lord, that they can be part of what they're doing, and we can go and do likewise in our Samaria and have and make our world just a little bit smaller place by connecting us to different parts of the world. Lord, will you allow us to go and do likewise?